This Monday morning on Wake Up With Hope, we'll be making raspberry banana crumble with G and her clan, and we will have also a special Revelation of Hope feature you're not going to want to miss.
And Gene Boonstra from Voice of Prophecy will share a devotional thought with us. Stay right here.
Good morning. It's another marvelous Monday at Wake Up With Hope. And we hope you had a fantastic and restful weekend.
Yes, we do. Friends, thank you so much for being here. We're excited to be waking up with you and kicking off this new week, sharing the hope and love of Jesus together.
And what a better way than to start off the week with National French Toast Day.
Yummy. I love French toast. I don't know about you, but I want to encourage you to gather your friends together, your family, and enjoy some French toast exactly the way you like it. Top it off with some fresh berries. That adds some antioxidants, and enjoy French toast.
Oh,
I think we need to do that too.
Even Elijah Mariah can make French toast.
Yes.
Oh, and I bet they're going to make some today.
We love it.
You already had breakfast, save this special time for dinner.
That's a good idea. That's a switch
up.
Whatever
you do, we hope that you take advantage and spend extra special quality time around a nice meal with your loved ones. That's what it's all about. Well, let's begin our hope-filled program today by taking a look back at this day in history.
On this day in history, in the year 1520, after sailing through the dangerous straits below South America that now bear his name, Portuguese navigator Ferdinand Magellan entered the Pacific Ocean with three ships, becoming the first European explorer to reach the Pacific from the Atlantic. Over a year earlier, Magellan had set sail from Spain with five ships and 270 men in an effort to find a western sea route to the rich spice islands of Indonesia. He faced uncertainty, failure, the loss of two ships, and even a revolt from his own men. However, Magellan finally found the strait which led to the Pacific and thus to where he intended to land.
You know, Magellan had made up his mind. He was determined to find the land that he was seeking. Failure, uncertainty, and even loss didn't stop him. So how about you, friends? Do you give up in the face of discouragement and failure? Do you retreat in the face of loss? You know, unfortunately, these things are guaranteed in this life. We just have to expect them. But we can have a sure friend in Jesus. He has promised to carry us through. So next time you face trials and failures, uncertainty, even disappointment, face it head on. Don't retreat. Instead, claim the promise of Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen. If I could say I have a favorite verse in the Bible, I think
it's
it would be Philippians 4:13.
Yes.
I love that promise. Are you looking to satisfy your sweet tooth but don't want to wreck your healthy goals? Well, G and Olive are here to give us a healthy take on a favorite treat, raspberry banana crumble.
Mm.
Today, we're going to show you how to make a healthy version of crumble. It's a raspberry crumble. A friend of mine, Mel, actually made it at home, and I was very inspired, so I used her idea. And what are we putting in there?
Raspberries.
Yes, we're putting raspberries. Not a whole bag of frozen raspberries because it's actually quite tart. The bananas are going to offset that flavor, which makes it like a touch of sweet and sour together. So there's three bananas that we've already chopped up here. Do you want to help me get them all evenly out?
Yeah.
Spread them. Go on. Spread them out. It's so easy. This recipe is one of those recipes where someone calls you and says, hey, I'm coming over. And you're like, what do I give them? If you've got bananas and raspberries in your freezer and you've got these ingredients, it takes no time, maybe 5-10 minutes. I like to drizzle just a touch of maple syrup. Oh, just a touch. And just mix it through a little bit like that on top. You don't have to, it's optional. And now to make the crumble, which is the easy part as well. Oh, you can have one. Okay, don't eat it all because we want to have some in there. So I've got pecans, which I've roughly chopped. Pecans, 1 cup of roughly chopped pecans. We got 1 cup of almond flour. So you've got all the goodness in it too. We've got 2/3 of a cup of oats. 2/3 of a cup of desiccated coconut.
Mama, can I mix it?
Yes, you can, but you're going to have to use your hands to mix it. And I've used 1/2 cup of coconut sugar. It's got like a, I would say, a caramel flavour once it cooks. But if you don't want it too sweet, you could just put 1/4 cup. Good mixing. Now I'm going to put 3 tablespoons of rice bran oil. You can use your hands to actually mix it through. You want to make sure it evenly. Yeah, you can keep mixing or use your hands.
Mama,
yeah.
There's not enough room.
Okay, there's not enough room. As long as the oil has absorbed it, then you know it's ready to put on top. Okay, let's put the crumble on top. Ready? Then you just flatten it out evenly. That's how easy it is. I'm actually going to put this in the oven for about 30 minutes, but you've got to keep an eye on it because the top of the crumble can burn really easy. So you have to have the oven on 180. As long as the fruit underneath is starting to boil, you can actually see it bubble, then you know it's ready to take out. Let's put it in the oven. Ready? So the crumble is ready, the banana and raspberry crumble. I left it in the oven a little longer than I should have, so just make sure you keep checking on it. Around 20 to 25 minutes is good. As soon as you see the fruit bubbling underneath, it's ready to go. So can you see the end result? It looks awesome. See you again soon.
That looked good.
Yes.
You're going to have to do it.
Yes, I am.
Oh, I can't wait to have it. Have you ever tried one of our recipes? If you have, send us a message on Facebook and let us know how it turned out for you. We'd love to know. You know, and are you enjoying today's program? Well, we've been blessed so far. Inspire someone else and share us with a friend. Or you can visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup. There you can see a lot more encouraging content. And search for us on our YouTube channel to check things out and keep up with us. Well, in just a few moments, we're going to hear about the song of the whales and what it can teach us. We'll see you in just a minute. Wake Up with Hope. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. We are blessed to be with you this morning.
Yes, we are. If you've ever spent quiet time outdoors, you will agree that nothing is more soothing than the sounds of nature. From the crashing waves on white sandy beaches to rustling coconut trees swinging in the cool island breeze, you know, the falling rain and the singing birds, the babbling brook and the clapping waterfalls and the rushing rivers, all those are beautiful sounds, but none of the sounds of nature compares quite like the whale song. Listen now to another powerful optic lesson from Reflections of Hope by Taj Pakleb.
The South Pacific is a place of natural wonder, a land where time slows down amid the calm and peaceful scenes of living creation, a place where the gentle strumming of island music creates a mellow mood fit for rest and relaxation. But nothing is more soothing than the sounds of nature. From the crashing waves on white sandy beaches, to the rustling coconut trees swaying in the cool island breeze, the falling rain, the singing birds, the babbling brook, the clapping waterfalls and the rushing rivers. But of all the sounds of nature, nothing is quite like the whale song. The serenading of these gentle giants was first recorded by accident at a top-secret hydrophone station off the coast of Bermuda. Naval engineers were listening for Russian submarines, but instead they captured calling sounds from the deep. Upon examining the recordings, the startling discovery was made that there was system and structure in the songs. There was rhyming and repetition, order and arrangement. Songs would range from 6 to 30 minutes in duration, slightly evolving year by year, ever expanding in complexity and creativity. like the sweet serenading of a man to his lover. Male humpbacks in the same general vicinity would sing the same song during breeding season. The winner of this aquatic song competition was chosen by female humpbacks, looking for the sweetest singer to father their offspring. The syntax of the song structure suggested an intelligence far beyond the linear language of chirping birds, mooing cows, barking dogs, or roaring lions. Considered as one of the most complex forms of communication in the animal kingdom, the whale song is a massive mystery. But unfortunately, whales were hunted by the tens of thousands each year, slaughtered to the point of near extinction. But when the world heard these gentle giants speak from the deep for the first time, the rising awareness of their intelligence and beauty ignited a worldwide movement to save the whales, a movement leading to the laws we have today to protect and preserve these magnificent creatures. Upon hearing their voice, we wanted to do all we could to cause their sufferings to cease. We heard their cries and thus wanted to save their lives. Here in the tiny islands of Tonga, we've had the incredible privilege of swimming with the humpbacks and hearing their love language firsthand. At up to 50 feet in length and 79,000 pounds in weight, you feel very small, weak, and vulnerable swimming next to these massive mammals. But our encounters with them the past few days has given us a glimpse into the character of the Creator who fashioned them with intelligence and design. Powerful and yet peaceful, strong and yet subtle, giant and yet gentle, massive and yet majestic, our God is the same. Our powerful Creator is also kind and compassionate. The majesty of the heavens is also the meek and lowly one. The sovereign of the universe is also the sweet singer of Israel, who rejoices over us in love. It is he whom Zephaniah wrote of when he spoke, "The Lord your God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, and he will joy over thee with singing." And just like the whale song, the Lord sings over us in everlasting love. We are the joy and the rejoicing of his infinite heart. And he desires us to hear his voice that we might know his heart, to hear his song that we might experience his salvation. And those who choose to dive deep in the ocean of his word will hear the Savior's song of salvation to us. And in that sweet salvation song, we will discover complexity, structure, intelligence, beauty, creativity, and design. Design that is calculated to capture our imagination and to convict our hearts. And so today I invite you to pause, go deeper, be still, listen, and listen carefully. And as you do, the ear of faith will hear the sweet harmonies of the heavenly song of salvation, a song that will literally take your breath away.
Well, it's time to take another short break, but when we return, Gene Boonster from Voice of Prophecy will be here to share a devotional with us. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. We hope your day starts off on the right foot as you bask in the love and peace found in Jesus.
Gene Boonster from Voice of Prophecy joins us now to share this morning's devotional thought.
Have you ever been asked to do something that seems completely illogical? Well, there was once a woman who was asked to do something almost unthinkable, to listen to the word of a stranger and in faith put her life and her child's in jeopardy. Now, we don't know her name. We know her simply as the widow of Zarephath. She lived during a difficult time. The kingdoms of Israel and Judah were recently divided, and each new Israelite king led his people further and further from God. And in this infamous succession of kings came perhaps the worst, Ahab. Now, Ahab married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. Now, Ethbaal was not only king, he was also the high priest of Baal, a false god, and false worship permeated Israel. But this didn't impact the widow of Zarephath. She wasn't an Israelite, but a Sidonian. She lived far away from the influence of Israelite politics. That is, until one day, God sent an Israelite prophet, Elijah, right to her home. You see, God had told Elijah that no rain would fall on Israel except by his word. And so the rains dried up, and so did the crops. Food became scarce in Israel and in the surrounding area. Now, King Ahab was angry with Elijah. And for his protection, God sent Elijah right into the heart of Sidonia. Let's read the account. It's found in 1 Kings and chapter 17. Then the word of the Lord came to him, Elijah, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup, that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And so she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." And here's the remarkable leap of faith that she took. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. And so in faith, this remarkable woman listened to God's prophet. Now, we aren't told how long she stood with the gathered sticks in her hand before she returned home and prepared that meal. I can imagine her studying the face of the prophet, scanning the tilt of his mouth and the depth of his eyes for any deceit. And finding none, her mind still must have had countless reasons to tell him no. And yet, God had sent Elijah to her for a reason. He could see her heart. God saw the faith in this woman living in the heart of Baal's territory. And so the widow of Zarephath believed the prophet's incredulous promise. Her oil and her flour wouldn't run out if she first made him a little cake. And her faith was rewarded. Elijah's words were true, and miraculously, the widow's flour and oil never did run out. They had enough for their guest as well. All was well for the widow, until one fateful day when she suddenly seemed to lose everything. Let's keep reading in 1 Kings. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child 3 times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, See, your son lives. Then the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. The prophet prayed, and God healed the boy. The widow of Zarephath had witnessed the miraculous flour and oil. And now she saw the full extent of God's miracles. He had the power over life and death. Now, without a doubt, she knew the truth. There in the heart of Baal's territory, a woman took a leap of faith. She ignored all logic and followed God's leading. And God rewarded her faithfulness. You know, leaps of faith can be terrifying, and yet God will preserve us more than we can ask or think. That was true for the widow of Zarephath, and it's true for you today too. Well, I'm thankful to start this week with you, our Hope Channel family, once again. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, leaps of faith can be terrifying. Father, this week, help us to have the faith to keep looking for you and your will, to be able to push past what might feel like an illogical barrier, and to step out in faith. Father, we know that you will take care of us in faith and that we can trust you. Thank you for that assurance. Amen. Well, the widow of Zarephath, you know, I wish that we knew her given name. Was it Sarah? Was it Abigail? We don't know. But I'm so thankful for what we do know about her. Her leap of faith, it was extraordinary. And I hope that it will inspire you this new week. You may be faced with something that, when you look at it logically, doesn't make sense. But when you look at it through the lens of faith, you can see God's hand at work. Take that leap of faith. Well, we at the Voice of Prophecy pray that you wake up with hope this day and every day this new week. Thank you for starting your Monday morning with us. Whatever this new week has in store for you, whatever its challenges, whatever its concerns, whatever prayers weigh heavily on you, you can have hope in the midst of it. And so invite God to go with you every step that you take, whether that step is a leap in the direction of faith and following God in a direction you never imagined. Trust Him and follow Him. Well, thanks for joining me for a few minutes in God's Word, words of hope and encouragement.
Thank you so much, Gene. That was such a blessing.
It was. And thank you, friends, for being with us here today and watching Wake Up with Hope.
Please join us tomorrow as Jesus 101 will be with us to share our morning devotional thought. We will also have a dedicated prayer session, and the Parenting Place will be back, and I always enjoy that one. If you've enjoyed today's messages and would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
You know, our free Bible study guides are sure to be life-changing. Mm-hmm. It has content that will impact your life. Again, that's hope.study. And before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. And today's Bible promise is found in John chapter 6, verse 35.
And it says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.
Friend, are you feeling unfulfilled in life, downcast or discouraged, feeling like you have no purpose? Friends, listen, come to Jesus. Just fall at His feet, spend time in His Word, trust His promises, and believe with all of your heart. He is the one who gives you all that you need, and He promises that when you do, you will be filled.
Amen. He promises to fill each and every one of us with His hope, with His love, with His encouragement, and a purpose to live for. What a beautiful promise. We hope that you enjoyed your time with us today, and we wish you a very happy Monday.
Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, what a wonderful way to begin this week, this day, filled with hope, filled with your presence, Thank you so much, Lord, for the inspirational content that we heard today. May we guard our hearts and keep it deep within our hearts so that throughout the day we'll be able to recall the wonderful words of encouragement that you have shared with us here today. Thank you for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.